Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right. Well, you've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day. Ooh, just like if you work at Taco Bell, turns out, because you can get paid every day when you work there. Anyway, this is not a Taco Bell bug, though it should be. Enter the DraftKings contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs, making a lineup on DraftKings as excitement every night. And who wouldn't want more excitement? I would put some pretty good money on Giannis dominating again at home tonight for the Bucks. Well, actually, we're in the future. So hopefully last night you put some money on Giannis dominating the Bucks and are celebrating with a big pot of gold this morning. Anyway, draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line.
DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome to episode 63, season 2 of Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas about your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Brought to you, of course, by the wonderful Brothers of Discussion and the Hockey Podcast Network. In today's episode, we're going to take a look at the expansion draft, how that could shake out, if what happens with Seattle is going to, or at least what we can predict, should impact what the Red Wings do. Mike, you gave me a homework assignment earlier today. I guess this is going to have to be our next episode because this is going pretty lengthy and we're missing AEW right now. All right.
It's okay. It's just Matt Hardy and Christian. We're fine.
Oh, thank God. We're missing nothing. Mike, we did our expansion draft and a couple of things I thought I learned while doing it. And I'll go over them in a minute, but we want to go over our, we actually did our own expansion teams, correct? Do you have one, Mike, or is that just me?
Well, I thought it'd be overkill to go through the entire 30 picks being made.
God damn it. You
so mother- I did pick five. I did pick five guys, and I mostly looked at teams that are having trouble with the salary cap. So I'm going to let you fill in a lot of the blanks.
I built a whole team, and then I even texted you, man, this fucking sucks. This takes forever.
Yeah, I was at work. I'm glad you were working at home with the baby. Barely had time to do 6 hours for a Seattle Kraken fantasy draft. But it sounds like your time was well spent, Matt.
Yeah. The thing of it is, like, a lot of these had to come from, like, I got so bored at one point. I did just start looking up other expansion drafts because that's a lot of research you got to do to, like, get to know everybody and figure out, you know, where these contracts are going. But ultimately, I think the more important conversation that I figured out, and I'll post my team here in a second once I get this together. I think this is my team. Is that the, can you see that? It's so tiny on my screen. Yeah, there's my team. I had to pick a couple of guys to hit the cap. There were a couple instances where I think I was picking just to fill out like the defensemen and the goalies, because I went through and I found it really easy to just keep picking forwards. Either I was picking forwards that, they hadn't proved anything yet, or I was picking forwards that felt like they could be going from the bottom six and probably could get something done in the, you know, the middle six, or even crack that top line. And it was a lot easier to just keep bringing forwards in. And the reason I say that, Mike, and that's where I think this conversation is a little bit more interesting, is maybe that might be the case for Seattle and maybe the Red Wings. I don't know. How would you break that down? If there are going to be a lot of forwards, if you put out more defensemen, it's more likely you're going to lose Troy Stetcher. I would say that's probably number one on the list for everybody who's picking at home their expansion teams and exposing Detroit Red Wings. They keep saying Troy Stetcher would be the defenseman to go. And then on the offensive side, probably going to be Vladislav Namestnikov. So I guess I'm just doing this thing where I'm trying to figure out, like, gamify this. Is Seattle, like me, going to struggle to find enough defensemen, like, to fill out this roster? Like, they need to get so many defensemen in this expansion draft that if you exposed a couple other Red Wings instead of Troy Stetcher, are you going to be able to get away with it because you're putting up guys that are unproven and aren't going to be as enticing as, say, like I already mentioned, and you could see on my draft board here, Namestnikov. Is that overthinking it, Mike? Is Steve Yzerman going into that? Is he doing his own expansion draft and saying, wow, it is pretty easy? When I was done, I needed 14 forwards. I had 20 forwards. I had to go back and redo a bunch of picks so that I had enough goalies and defensemen. Yeah. So I think there is something to that. Basically, if we expose Troy, he's gone. And I'm a Stetcher fan. So I'm trying to find a way that doesn't have to happen.
I think we in Detroit have seen enough of the eyeball test for Namestnikov and Stetcher. I think in your heart of hearts, you would have to say Stetcher is the more valuable guy. And if both of them are available, I got to think that somebody in Seattle watched the same game tape that we did. I've seen a couple mocks. I saw Namestnikov taken in one, and the others were all Stetcher. And I got to think that's probably going to be the guy on the way out, because I think I'd be a little bit more bummed about that one, where Namestnikov, third or fourth line. I feel like we're going to be calling up our rookies to do that third and fourth line work. So I wouldn't be too devastated by that. So that's why I have a feeling he's going to stay, and Stetcher's going to be the guy that we could use a little stability in the back. So it's probably going to be the more painful loss, and Stetcher will be the Red Wing pick.
So who I exposed on the defensive side, I got this from, I built it out through Cap Friendly. So there's probably some room for human error in here for me selecting these guys and trusting that system to make sure it is going to shake out properly. But I did end up protecting Stetcher, Chalowski, and Hronek. And that was it. And everybody else you've got the unrestricted free agents. If they decide, they'll have some time on Sunday to sign any unrestricted free agent. That becomes their expansion pick. So, I mean, Are they going to sign Mark Stahl? Probably not. kind of thing. So, you know, that at least I think the dicey one that some people and reading some articles, some folks are hanging on to DeKaiser for some reason. But Gustav Lindstrom is the guy that I kind of said, you know what? I just threw it out there. I'm going to say it and have at him. I don't think, like I mentioned with Seattle and my own troubles with trying to fill out my own expansion draft with this and picking enough defensemen. And that could be my own, you know, I could be Ken Hollanding this thing and overvaluing all those forwards. And there's probably some juicier defensemen. But like I said, if I can protect Stetcher and I think what I've done is built this out where I'm protecting Stetcher, Chalowski, and Hronek, and I'm exposing the likes of Namestnikov. I played around with that idea of Jovani Smith or Adam Ernie and Svechnikov, Evgeny Svechnikov. I said Namestnikov. Sorry. All those coughs are rattling in my head, confusing me.
Oh, no,
but I think those are the juicier picks. So I think if you expose those guys, and I am okay with losing them, I think that's the way to strategize this. And that's where my head's at right now. But I still am reading so many things where it's Stetcher is bye-bye. So it's got it, that tells me that whoever is in the ear, whoever is around the Red Wings, that Stetcher is going to be exposed. And I at this point think it just would be silly if he is going to be exposed if Seattle passes on him.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you're off base on your projection there. I think the only kind of weird wild card that I could honestly see happening, Matt, even as a first round pick, and it just feels like it's because they're prioritizing some new defensemen. Matt, I wouldn't be surprised if my boy Chalowski was put out there to get picked.
I don't really mind that either.
It doesn't feel like they have a ton of confidence in him, and it doesn't feel like they're seeing the development that they thought they were going to see. And obviously, he's only 22, 23, you know, a lot of years ahead of him. But it does kind of feel like, you know, we would have seen a little more ice time, at the major league level, at the main event level. It's, you know.
As we like to say. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, as the wrestling show, but I would be surprised.
I think that's the way to do that is to kind of roll the dice on it because I know you're still playing this game of like, all right, then Stetcher's just going to leave the next offseason for free agency, and then we're just kind of like, well, shit. But I don't know. I think I want to roll that dice. I want to see if I can create a relationship with Troy and have him stick around and have him be a core piece. Cause I see a lot that I like in Troy. I mean, we talked all season about how he would drag Mark Stahl up and down the rink. And that is impressive. So anyway, you can keep a guy that's going to make Mark Stahl look legit again. You got to keep that guy around. I did want to ask too, since we're playing this game, I'm trying to gamify this whole system. Mike, when Peter Mrazek was exposed at the Vegas expansion draft, My jaw hit the floor. I could not believe it. And as we saw later that Mrazek was traded, and we were just kind of like, okay, all of this makes sense. But is there going to be something like that where I think if we were all filling out like our expansion drafts and we... right, like we're telling ourselves these are the guys that are solid, we're not, you know, you don't have to worry about them being exposed, and we had our things filled out the way they were, is there going to be that type of Peter Mrazek move, or do you see anybody on this list that we might be looking at? And even though we can all say this is pretty for sure, like who's the name that would pop up on this that we're just gonna be like, holy crap, let's hold our breath, cross our fingers. I really hope that Seattle does not pick him up. Steve is really running and gunning right now. So let's see what happens.
I feel like I already kind of blew my wad on this question because it felt like a lot of the projections had Chalowski as like a surefire. Well, he's protected, obviously, and they moved on. But I don't think it's that obvious. I think this team sees more value in 27-year-old Stetcher, and they know what they're going to get defensively. commitment wise. This is a guy I feel like, you know, if they just offered him a little bit more money when he turns 28, we know he's not lighting up the stat sheet. And that's a lot of how free agency works. But you know, get to stay with the teams that have seen you, you know, on the rink, you know, day in, day out, seen you in practices, seen you in games, seen your value. And that's where Stetcher might be a lot easier for him to, you know, re-up, you know, next offseason. So I could really see a world where they protect Stetcher and let Chalowski be exposed, because, you know, then you're just, you know, hoping for that potential for Dennis that he can play, you know, quarterback a power play a little bit, but turns out defensemen have to play a little defense too, and we have not seen it yet. So maybe they would be, gosh, you know, it's almost like I want to play a game with you. And if you were Seattle, would you rather get the potential of Dennis, or you know what you're getting with Stetcher?
I would say they would want Stetcher.
Yeah.
And that's where my, you know, the second that he's exposed and going back to how I want
to
game.
There's pressure, right? You saw how well the Golden Knights did out of the gate. And do you want to just, you know, roll the dice on a lot of potential or get some, you know, stability and try and win some of these hockey games? You don't want to be the bad expansion team. You want to be, you know, as good as Vegas. So, yeah, I would take Stetcher for sure if I was Seattle.
Yeah, and I'd say to go back to my question of who would be the shocker of who's going to be exposed.
Like a realistic shocker. Right.
So, yeah, I just want to kind of recap who I have. I mentioned Stetcher, Chalowski, Roenick on the forward side. I've got Larkin, Tuz, Verana, Fabry, Rasmussen. And then you can kind of go between Adam Ernie or Evgeny Svechnikov. That's what I was playing around with. And then the last one was Jovani Smith. So the one that would kind of make me like jaw on the floor, and I'm not saying they should do this. I'm just saying, like, kind of watching what Steve's doing and some of the rumblings of like trade talk. And maybe he just doesn't see a future based on some conversations. Oh my God, Mike, what if we had Tyler Bertuzzi and we were holding our breath for a whole day waiting for the, I guess, we're going to have 4 or 5 days, I think, after these are released. Jesus. Britches filled. How deep? How many pounds?
That would easily, you know, be the most talked about move for Seattle, I think. I don't know another player that kind of, you know, at that level is at that age and that kind of ability is going to get exposed like that. They would really have to see, wow, this guy is not going to come back as a successful Red Wing to put him on the exposed list for Seattle.
And that's where like the Mrazek thing was for me at the time. So that's where I'm kind of like, do we just go back and we just did our top, you know, our list of bonehead moves by Ken Holland? Do we just go backwards and talk about that one again? But yeah, that's where I still couldn't believe it at the time. And that's where that would be, you know, for me, if that actually happened, because some of them, you're just not going to see Dylan Larkin. You're not going to see Jakub Vrana, but there's something about this Bertuzzi relationship where he got way underpaid. And again, now we're talking out of both sides of her mouth after we talked about Red Wings players getting way overpaid. But he got way underpaid. The conversation or the whole season seemed kind of weird about, you know, I know they don't disclose the injuries, but there was all this talk of, you know, is Bertuzzi going to be skating again? Then it was yes, no, maybe so. There's something going on with this relationship. So that's where I threw it in there. I mean, the other easy, you know, the easy ones are just, you know, you expose Michael Rasmussen, you expose Adam Ernie, which I think that, If he's exposed, I don't know. That seems like the perfect kind of like Vegas get, you know, that ended up working out for Vegas and getting them to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. We saw Adam Ernie go on a run that, you know, would have put him as a 20 goal scorer this year. So you go in that direction if he's exposed. And I think that's why everybody has protected him for the most part in their own expansion drafts. But like those are the names too, where I think you're holding your breath. Cause again, The for sure is for me should be Larkin, Bertuzzi, Verana, and Fabbri. And I think we could see a surprise anywhere after that. Probably Hronek too. Sorry. That should probably be fitting in there somewhere.
I got to say, you know, when we very harshly criticized Holland, quite a few times, rightfully so, it was for that steadfast loyalty, right? For players that were like, ooh, does that guy deserve that? And Adam Ernie did pretty good for a season, and now he's a restricted free agent. So I think that as far as like just a, like a sidetrack for an Yzerman test, woo-wee, for him to really gauge what Adam Ernie's worth, like if you watch Jakub Vrana, there's no doubt, my God, we got to sign this guy, you know, till he retires. But Adam Ernie, woo-wee, man.
Yeah, you want to hear that conversation, like – Ernie coming in with the hard numbers. Hey, man, look at what I did this year. This is what this contract negotiating is all about. Numbers.
He picked a perfect year to score net. Some goals.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do. That's going to be the most interesting one to me because I don't know.
That's almost like an Yzerman. I triple dog dare you to take him. And Seattle's like, fuck, we could just get Stetcher. Oh, we know we're getting there. What if Ernie goes back to what he's used to? Oh, God, I don't know.
That would be a fun gamble. I there's probably something to be said, too, with Ernie being labeled as, like, Steve's, you know, this is Steve's guy. There's something to that, clearly. So I think that's going to figure in. But I don't know. I think it's also going to figure into that contract negotiation. I think Steve's going to go in there and, you know, hey, I drafted you to do a job when you were drafted. I didn't draft you to be my top line scorer. So we know who Adam Ernie is. So you're not kidding me. Like, is that, you know, that could be the thing that we're missing with Steve Yzerman, the way he goes into these conversations, the way that people walk out and go, man, that's Steve. He really gets it. I'm going to sign with him. Maybe that's the piece that we don't get to see where Steve just looks these guys dead in the eye. No, I'm not paying you that much. We know who you are. Look at all your teeth that are missing. You're clearly not going to be on my posters. So you're getting paid. You're getting paid $3.5 million. You're not even going to sniff $5 million. So, yeah, the shot at Tyler. Sorry. Beautiful. Sorry, Tyler. We love you, but I mean,
all right.
Man, so there's draft talk.
Yeah, there's 30 teams, right? So we did the Red Wings. That's one.
Ready for the next one? All right.
No. So I'm going to say I looked at 5 teams here, and I kind of wanted to see what you thought. One of them being, I think, the most interesting team because it's going to have some pretty interesting implications for what the Red Wings do, and that's the cap-strapped Tampa Bay Lightning. They have to get under the cap. Or hope that Kucherov has a very another convenient regular season injury so he can come back in the playoffs so they could be 3-time Stanley Cup champions. Matt, they have to expose somebody expensive. This has to be where Seattle gets to spend a little money. Matt, is it going to be Yanni or is it going to be Tyler?
Oh, man. I did Cal Foote.
You did Cal Foote?
I think Tyler Johnson makes sense because I think he's from the West Coast. So that was what I was reading. So there might be this idea that they want to have face of the franchise for that area kind of thing. So I will 1,000% respect that decision by Seattle. I wouldn't be shocked. But yeah, I took Cal Foote. But that was me going – that was me doing probably a higher – what do I want to say here? Higher touted? Is that, why does that not sound right?
Usually you say highly touted.
Highly touted. No, then Gustav Lindstrom is where I was coming from. So okay. Higher touted, can I say that? Touted hiredly.
Hiredly. Nailed it.
I talk on a podcast. Yeah, that's where I went. So, to go back to the question, though, I played around with Tyler, but that was me also putting in a bunch of forwards on my expansion draft. Like I told you, I ran out of space for goalies and defensemen.
Well, on this show, you know, we like guys who are taller than 5'9". So if you take Tyler or Yanni, you're going from 5'8 to 5'9". Matt, in his size fetish, went right for foot, the 6'3" defenseman. And I mean, how many defensemen can Tampa Bay really protect? You know, maybe this is the guy that they let, you know, be exposed. I think it would surprise me. If you had your choice of the three, I would probably pick this, you know, foot two. I don't know if I want to, you know, second or third line guy, like Yanni or Tyler and foot.
I mean,
I can see being a top four defenseman, right? Top two, top three.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, everybody talks about their, you know, their hometown, their home team's trade to make sure that their guy doesn't get picked. Tampa already exposed Tyler to waivers and was ready to say goodbye to that contract. I wonder if they're going to throw down a draft pick to say, you know, if Seattle's talking about doing something else, if they're going to say, look, build up your team. Here's third or fourth rounder. Please take Tyler. Take his contract. I'm sorry it's so big. You have a center. You have a guy who's from that area. People will love that. But Jesus, I need Kucherov in my regular season next year. And there you go.
I think if Foot is exposed, there's no way that, like, Seattle
Quentin Tarantino
would pass him
up. Does not go. Oh,
paying attention
right, tell,
to the wrong.
Right.
He clicks right on that article for the wrong reason. Oh, this
Foot's exposed. Quentin Tarantino's there.
Yeah, fucking Foot exposed. Love it. Love it. Yeah, I'm going to zoom in. if all three of those guys are there, obviously you would take Foot. And if – is there a real likelihood of that happening, Matt? So they'd be – what do you get? Is it 7-3-1? So they'd be keeping Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev?
Yeah.
So then they would have to – they would have to expose Foot? That would probably be, for the Red Wings, probably best case scenario, right? Because that would mean that we'd still be able to, you know, fire and pillage from Tampa Bay somebody else that they have to get rid of. They have to, and get a draft pick from them. That's probably right. Best case scenario.
Yeah, because, you know, even if they propose that trade I mentioned, Seattle still doesn't have to say yes. So
is it also, like, Tampa Bay could say, pretty please, if you take... you know, Tyler instead of Foot, then we'll trade you a draft pick for free. So that would be what, probably worst case scenario for us, or they take, you know, Yanni and a draft pick is worst case scenario for the Red Wings.
Because
then we wouldn't be a part of the pillage.
I wouldn't say there is really a worst case. Cause I mean, Tampa's, they're fucked. They're not going to lose enough here to kind of make it all square. So they're going to still have to make some moves. This team, for all intents and purposes of you know, defining if this team cheated or not. And I think that they just figured out a way to work the system, and I applaud them for it.
It's creative problem solving. Yeah.
Absolutely. Should have been GM of the year. They've got themselves in quite a pickle right now. It's just, you know, that's the pickle you want to be in. How do I fix my team after I won the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah. I hope that Foot is exposed and the Red Wings can take advantage, get a pick, and, you know, somebody for their second or third line. I've said my piece about that.
Right. We are past an hour now. You said you had four more teams. Do you want to do one more?
I guess we could do one more. Pittsburgh Penguins, Matt, or the other team, kind of in trouble with the cap. And kind of the consensus is that the Penguins are going to expose somebody kind of expensive, not quite old, but, you know, old enough that they're like, is this guy really a core? Jason Zucker. Yep. Did you have the same guy on your board?
I certainly did.
All right. Well, we settled that. There you go. We got the two cap strap teams. And I guess I like bringing them up because is there also some sort of scenario where we would help the cap strap Penguins, but I can't imagine that they would be too eager to be trading with us anytime soon.
Yeah, much, I can't,
like with Tampa, I could see a trade, but not.
I can respect that thought. Yeah, I mean, there could be some, you know, movement of our turd sandwiches over to theirs. And I don't know. It gets so messy to start putting this together because really we just, you know, we want some draft picks. So I think Pittsburgh is fine with the Zucker loss. And I think it all adds up for where they're headed. So I don't know. I'm gonna say they're not gonna approach us to make sure they keep Zucker, especially. I mean, across quite a few different expansion drafts, that's what I was seeing, was Zucker was headed out.
Yeah, yeah. So right number, right age. You know, for him to do a couple years on Washington. So there you go.
All right, does that wrap us up? I didn't know if we were gonna.
Yeah.
Philly's another fun one because they have a bunch of guys that. We could trade for, or people keep bringing up Philly, like we need to take all their garbage because we have all this money. I don't know. Never mind. I just throw that out there. Let's call it quits. Everybody, thanks for letting us run through our top five, Ken Holland.
Train wrecks.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. After the 2008 Stanley Cup. And yeah, it's at least, I think, again, the most important thing here is, can we gamify? Can we cross our fingers and hope that we'll, I don't know, trick or just expose enough for Seattle that we can hang on to my boy, Troy Stetcher? It's going to be difficult. And I don't know if Namestnikov is juicy enough for them to say, I'm going the Stetch route. But, you know, like I said, it was difficult for me to fill out that expansion draft. I had to go back and just pick up defensemen later. So I'm sure that if Stetcher is available, they're going to take Stetcher over to Namestnikov. Yep. That'd be it. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Find our shop at brothersofdiscussion.com or bodpodcast.com. The Red Wings Rant homepage is bodpodcast.com/redwingsrant. I got to buy redwingsrant.com. That's hopefully nobody's listening right now and is like, oh, they don't own that. Fuck these two. They're going to give me $200 for that. And then we're at BOD Hockey on Twitter and at brothers_of_discussion on Instagram. Anybody has any suggestions for a show topic as, you know, we're going to be heading into post-free agency soon. So... if anybody has any ideas, let me know, and we'll run through those. Thanks so much. All right, have a good one, everybody.